Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Good afternoon to the members of the delegation in Hong Kong, and good morning to the members in this room with us. Today, I will address the issues in paragraph 15 and 16. However, before going to these issues, please allow me to raise one follow-up question on the reply the delegation made yesterday. First, I thank very much the delegation for having answered my question concerning the implementation rules under Article 43 of the National Security Law. So according to the delegation's explanation, the measures under National Security Law and implementation rules are taken with the procedural safeguards which are consistent with the international standard. However, as I pointed out yesterday, implementation rules allow the police to act without a court warrant to search the homes of national security law suspects, to tap their phones, to freeze their assets, and to censor online speech related to alleged crimes. Actually, the committee received many allegations that the police has taken such measures arbitrarily for the purpose of dampening of free speech and crackdown on pro-democratic peaceful movements. Please explain what measures the Hong Kong government has taken to prevent such abusive uses of power by police and the implementation rules under the implementation rules, and also indicate how the safeguards the delegation mentioned yesterday are working in practice, not on paper. Now I turn to today's issue in paragraph 15 regarding trafficking in persons. From the report and reply, the committee acknowledged that Hong Kong government has been taking various measures to tackle with the issues of trafficking in person. Particularly, according to the reply, between 2017 and 2019, nearly 20,000 initial victim screening were conducted. In relation to the screening, I have the following questions. First, what is the definition of victim for these screening measures? The Hong Kong Bill of Rights Ordinance prohibits slavery and slave trade, servitude and forced labor, but it does not explicitly prohibit human trafficking for the purpose of exploitation. China is a state party to the Palermo Protocol to prevent, suppress, and punish trafficking in persons. However, it is not applied to Hong Kong. Please indicate whether the definition under the Palermo Protocol is also available to all relevant laws applied to Hong Kong and in its practices. The reply states that by the screening between 2017 and 19, only 30 victims were identified, and then the small number and percentage of victims reinforce the observation that trafficking in person has never been a prevalent problem in Hong Kong. In my view, however, the small number of victims found does not necessarily indicate that actual victims are really small in number, because it is depending on the definition and the procedure. This concern brings me to the second question. The report described that the police and the immigration department put in place an enhanced mechanism for victim screening and identification in 2016. Under the mechanism, the officers conduct a two-tier screening on persons who are arrested or who put themselves forward to the authorities. Please provide information on what concrete procedure is taken to ascertain whether they are victim or not, and also indicate the measures which has been taken to improve the screening mechanism to identify victims of trafficking more effectively. Now I move on to the paragraph 16 concerning the protection of migrant workers. According to the reply, the Employment Amendment Ordinance 2018 raised the maximum penalty for the offenses of employment agencies overcharging job seekers and unlicensed operation. However, report only indicated that 119 employers of foreign domestic helpers were convicted between July 2010 and July 2017. Please provide an updated number of offenses committed by employment agencies, including investigations, prosecutions, convictions, and sentences handed down, as well as the remedies provided to the domestic migrant workers. In the previous concluding observations, the committee recommended to repeal the so-called 2 weeks rule, which stipulates that migrant domestic workers must find new employment or leave Hong Kong within 2 weeks after the employment contract ends. The problem of this rule is that it would discourage migrant domestic workers from reporting illegal employment due to the fear that they would lose their job and have to leave Hong Kong. In this regard, it is quite important to ensure that even a job ends because of his or her reporting of illegal employment, he or she can continue to stay in Hong Kong and find another employment as a domestic worker. According to the annex to the report, Immigration Department may consider granting exceptional approval for migrant domestic workers to change employers when there is evidence suggesting that they are being exploited or abused by their employers. The report said that as of November 2019, the change of employer after premature termination has been approved in 6,478 cases. However, these cases include not only the case where the worker has been abused, but also the employer's external transfer, death, or financial difficulty. Please provide information on the number of applications for changing employers and approve the case because of the exploitation. In addition, please explain whether Hong Kong government is willing to make such an approval a rule, not an exception, and adopt a new policy to repeal 2 week rule partially only for the workers who have reported the exploitation and have to change their job before the employment contract ends. Madam Chairperson, this ends my question. I'm looking forward to the fruitful discussion and dialogue with the State Party. Thank you very much.